Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be back, Jim. Thank you.
Mark, do we have a special offer for our listeners?
We do. So if you go to our my website, VRTrader.com, that's Victor Robert, VRTrader.com, and you see all our great newsletters there, and you pick one out you like, and you sign up, and you get to a point where it asks for a promo code, and you enter 2022 half off, just as it sounds, 2022, HALFOFF, and you get 50% off of any of our newsletters for any time frame you sign up for.
And a little reminder about what you're not.
Right. I am not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice. Thank you for reminding me.
Mark, I was just finishing an interview where some people are saying there's still room for the stock market to fall another 30% at least. What's your view on it?
Oh, gee, it depends what time frame you want to talk about. Bottom line is... are we talking in the next 2-3 weeks? Are we talking over the next couple
next
of years?
Next year, I would think.
We're in a negative cyclical period right now, but we also have the potential of a rally because of the upcoming election in the U.S. and what the Democrats and the media are going to try to do or not do between now and November. Markets tend historically or cyclically to post some type of low September, October, and then you get a year-end rally. So what happens between now and I think the end of September is sort of critical. I don't think, unless there's some dramatic event, though anything is possible, that we would drop that much, you know, in that time frame. So I think if we're going to have, and I would accept that as a possibility, but more likely next year or the year after. And I think the inflation numbers that were being inundated with are small compared to what I think they ultimately can become. There's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, you've got problems in Japan, which are not even talked about, with regard to fact that about 80% of all the ETFs in Japan the government now owns, and, you know, with the risks there, and we can get into a whole discussion about what's going on over there, and, of course, the potential of crude oil and natural gas and other resources that continue to go dramatically higher because of short-sighted planning on the part of a lot of governments, including our own, but particularly in Europe, and the risk of, you know, war. So many argue it could be more of a financial event than a physical shooting event, though, you know, I'm open to all both possibilities since U.S. government's been funding Ukraine, and it depends how much Putin is going to stand for all that and whether there's going to be a trigger incident or not. So, I mean, there's a lot of variables on the table. So I consider myself overall a bear, and when this whole correction started or this bear market started, you know, I was looking for a much more significant decline, which could be the 30% you're talking about. So whether it is going to happen this year or over the next couple of years, I wasn't sure. But I would say right now, on a trading basis, we should go lower, at least into a good part of September, maybe into the middle part of the month. We have the autumnal equinox on the 23rd of September. And if you remember, summer solstice came in on June 21st, and the market bottomed on June 17th. So if we sort of repeat that pattern, you know, we could still see a couple of weeks of indigestion here and then perhaps some type of rally. But yes, I'm a bear. Short term, I'd be careful. Some bottoms probably due, you know, by mid-month or so, and then we'll take it from there. But I don't think we're out of the woods in terms of inflation, in terms of both economic and military risk. And I think we're in a very treacherous time frame. A lot depends on the election in the U.S., of course. Of course, the things going on in Canada are somewhat similar. That's sort of my bottom line thinking right now.
Yes, well, don't forget, if the U.S. catches a cold, Canada gets cancer.
Okay.
Yeah, you're 10 times bigger, so anything that happens to your economy, it really is amplified in Canada.
Well, the other side of the coin is that you have a natural resource economy, and if crude oil resumes its uptrend, which I think overall it will, for a lot of reasons, the natural gas as well, commodity-based nations, resource-based nations, I think are going to outperform those that are not. So you might be doing a bit better than you're giving Canada credit for.
Now, going to the auto industry, I know in California they don't want to sell gasoline vehicles after 2025. Yet a notice has just been sent out because of their high temperatures right now. Everybody's got their AC cranked up to max 24 hours a day. And electric car owners are being told, don't recharge your vehicles or you'll cause rolling blackouts. Well, look.
Unbelievable.
Right, and hardly anybody owns electric cars in California yet. What's it going to be like when it's mandatory?
It's a disaster, and that's the problem. And the question is it mandatory? Is the government going to fund it and give everybody loans or grants to buy the EV vehicles, which wouldn't surprise me since spending money we don't have seems to be the course of action here. And then you're right. If everybody's got one, how are they going to charge up when the power grid is not sufficient to support it? We need to be constructing more nuclear plants, doing more things, and there's a good 10-year lead time on that. So the cutoff time for the EV is going to be obviously extended when nobody can charge, either that or nobody can afford to buy it, or it takes manufacturers longer to produce it. So we'll see. It's an interesting conundrum here because there really was no planning for it other than, hey, get it by a certain time frame without considering the infrastructure and the ability to recharge, particularly if you're driving outside of the city on the road. Are there going to be enough recharging stations and, more importantly, power to power those? And at the moment, that's not the case.
And what's to keep people in California from dropping by Chuck and Dale's GM dealership in Vegas or Frank's Ford dealership in Flagstaff?
You know, if I'm buying a vehicle, I would still like the old Prius-type formula where you've got a battery and gas, you know, where you can cover yourself both just in case you can't charge somewhere and hopefully you can still get gas. Well, you know, one of the concerns I have, too, if there's blackouts and power outages, even if you pull up to a gas station, there's power outages, you won't be able to pump even gas. Forget about the electric vehicle charging issue. So, you know, there's a double problem here if there are blackouts or brownouts. So it's all coming because of bad planning, but not to mention, you know, weather things that might happen which would disrupt things, geocosmic events, flooding, you know, volcanoes, earthquakes, all that other kind of stuff that everybody sort of snickers at. But when it happens, reality hits. I mean, look at the big flood Canada, Vancouver, British Columbia experience this past winter. So things come out of the blue, and that could distort this planning and my entire discussion even have a greater effect than we're even speculating about. But anyway, yeah, it's interesting. Well, I would cover your bases, you know. You know, if you get a vehicle, see that it has both options just in case you can get one and not the other. And don't forget about that bicycle. You know, you might need that.
I was going to say, make sure your car has both a sunroof and pontoons.
Right. Maybe you can take it on the water and get to your destination via the lakes.
Remember those aqua cars back in the 60s? Those were cute. I wonder if they're going to come back.
I hope so. They were cute.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's going on with the U.S. dollar? Is it still the shiniest thing on the shelf?
Yeah, apparently so. You know, until it's replaced, and there's a lot of effort to try to replace it, you know, it's not happening. And, You know, basically, you know, we're still long the dollar. You know, there's an ETF you can purchase to do that. And the trend's up. And, you know, it seems to me if things are going to be getting worse economically or militarily, or that possibility exists, for one or both, you know, you have to be in what's moving. Unfortunately, this is not helping precious metals. It's a lot of commodities that are, you know, priced in the dollar, and they price inversely. So, yep, it's the last standing horse in the glue factory, but it's still standing, and, you know, the day will come where the trend will reverse again, but it's been up. So, you know, bottom line, you got to remain bullish until otherwise.
Bitcoin, other cryptocurrencies plummeting from, well, Bitcoin's high of just about 69,000 down to the 20s. Do you see any recovery there anytime soon?
Yeah, not necessarily anytime soon. I have like a 3-year forecast we threw together that says Bitcoin will make new highs in that time frame, and it could be a couple years ago. If you recall, you know, the recent volatility in Bitcoin, if you just want to focus on that one coin or that one vehicle, you know, since that 2010, 11, 12 period, it's had huge percentage swings, and, you know, more recently just into 2019, you know, how low it was and how much it came back up again. You know, you just got to be prepared for the volatility in the thing, and, you know, I think it pays, you know, it's like owning gold and silver, you know, maybe not to that degree, because obviously those are physical assets, but, you know, having a little position in it, but taking a couple-year perspective, I think you'll do okay. I don't think they're going to zero so fast. There's a lot of talk and scare tactics out there about the government getting rid of it. I don't know how fast they can get rid of it, Jim. So, you know, the fear of government's financial stability around the world, as I just mentioned a few moments ago, there's risks in Japan. The U.S. is still not doing that great, though they try to paint a positive picture. Europe's still doing terribly. Bottom line is, I think having a hedge is a good idea. So, you know, whether you want to go for XRP, which everybody seems to speculate is the next Bitcoin, or Ethereum, or GBTC, I wouldn't put your life savings in it. But, you know, a couple percent play in that, in the crypto, still makes sense to me.
The U.S. Going to the moon again, testing out the Artemis rocket, which is bigger than the Saturn V. And I didn't think you could get bigger than a 300-foot rocket, but this one is. Does that give you hope that perhaps we will have life beyond this planet with humanoids?
Okay. Well, you know, you're going to get me started. I already think that is a given fact based on, you know, intelligence research that's been released through the Freedom of Information Act, a lot of stuff regarding what the government has done secretly and so forth. We could spend hours on this subject. So, my big question is whether the Artemis rocket and all that you see publicly is really the technology that we really and truly have, and is really a full expression of what we're capable of or what we've already been doing. So, that's again a whole other discussion. I'm more of the view that we have advanced technology well beyond the Artemis rocket. We're already on the moon. We've had a base there for a long time. We may already have one on Mars. And, we're not being told what's really going on. I mean, these craft that have been photographed, people are having sightings, since Roswell. And if you look at the ancient literature, apparently sightings for thousands of years all over the planet that's encrypted in stone walls and, you know, in canvas and other places, or writings that have been preserved over time or revealed over time. So, that's not even an issue for me. I mean, I think we're just not being told what's really going on. The fact that we hadn't been to the moon all these years clearly tells you that we discovered something there that we didn't want people to know about, and we probably have had secret missions there that they're not telling us about. So that's a whole other discussion. And this is just not casual comments on my part. This is research, things that I've read for 25, 30 years, contacts that I've had that have divulged certain things to me that they really don't want to talk about publicly. So, here we are. You know, it's fun to look at. And just to be a question of what they released when. There are even stories that NASA has been spending time the last, 20 years that we haven't been on the moon, going up there secretly and destroying artifacts and blowing up structures that were clear evidence of either a prior civilization or whatever that existed on the moon, just to destroy evidence. There were some explosions supposedly sighted or recorded, funny things going on, government cover-ups and so forth. So, that time will tell whether we'll get to the bottom line. It's like trying to find out the answer to the Kennedy assassination, right, or the Loch Ness Monster or any of these things that we hear about. You know, will you ever get the truth? And that may not come as quickly as we all had hoped.
Mark, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
Well, we have a dangerous sunspot out there that just identified today. It's called Sunspot AR3089. It could be a calm before the storm. It's developed a, what they call a Delta-class magnetic field that harbors energy for one of these X-class solar flares. So if it erupts, that could create some problems here for us in the coming days. So we'll see if that unfolds. That sort of covers it. We're just backing up to the markets. I know everybody is, you know, concerned about that. So far, not to be overly optimistic, because I think there's, as I mentioned earlier, potentially more negatives coming. You know, we are in a time frame where you normally get a pullback, but we also may get a buying opportunity for a trade. So we got to keep our ears and eyes open for that, and we'll take it a day at a time. We're out here to make money. That's what it's all about.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us, and have a great Labor Day.
Same to you. Thanks for the opportunity.
My guest has been Mark Leibovitt, editor and publisher of the Leibovitt VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark or any of our other guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.